1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to jump right into scriptures this morning. Verse 9, the Bible says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Let's pray. God, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for loving us. I ask and pray that you please bless today. Speak to our hearts. I pray to God that you please give each one of us what we need. And God, I pray that you please bless. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, it is exciting days for me and my family. We are about to go back to our mission field, back to Panama. And Lord's been very good to us. We were looking for a house, couldn't find a house anywhere. What we were facing is that in Panama, since last March, nobody's had to pay rent. And so the problem with that is, well, I take that back, not everybody, but all Panamanians. So foreigners still had to pay rent. We weren't allowed to work, but we still had to pay rent. So it's kind of like, all right, what's going on here? So the Panamanian people wanted to find foreigners who would pay rent, but if they advertised their house, they might get a Panamanian in the house. Well, the problem with that is they can't evict them, and they can't throw them out of the house for not paying rent because they don't have to pay rent. And so they get people in their houses that don't have to pay rent. And so that was a big problem. And so nobody wanted to say, hey, listen, my house is available. And so we couldn't find anybody. We couldn't find any houses. And Lord just last week opened a door and allowed us to find a house, a nice house. It's really nice, had a big backyard, and so we're excited, and the Lord's been doing several other things with us, but just a few more days, and we're heading home. We're heading to warm weather, and we're not complaining. We're done with this cold weather, all right? Anyway, it's exciting days for us. But I want to preach a message this morning that is really, really, really evident in my life right now. And it's actually a very, very important factor in the life of the church right now. Because right now, pastor knows that we as a church are supposed to start a church in Topeka, right? And what pastor is looking for right now is an open door. He thought several times that, you know, he found a building and he even had a men's meeting on a couple of buildings. We went over and looked at them, and this has got to be God's will. And then the buildings aren't available anymore. It's like, what's going on? It seemed like a door opened and then it closed. And so what pastor's doing is he's looking for an open door. He's looking for, he knows that's the direction that the church needs to go, but when and where and how and everything like that, he's looking for things like that. Now, multiple times in my life, and really right now I'm facing several opportunities, and I don't know which way to go. I know what direction, but how to get it done. When I was 16, my dad passed away, and I was, when I was 16 years of age, almost 17, I was looking at what college to go to. You know, in Mexico, I knew I wasn't going to go to college there, and so I knew I was going to go to college here in the United States, and so what college to go to? Well, my older sister had gone to Hiles Anderson College. And at Hiles Anderson College, they have a program called the Highlander Club. And I enrolled in the Highlander Club. It was a entry level for prospective students, people who were young people, you know, 15, 16, 17 years of age, that were looking at going to Hiles Anderson College. And if I enrolled at 15, I got a certain percentage off my college bill when I got to college. And if I enrolled at 17, I got a percentage off, and 18, and so on and so forth. So I enrolled in Hiles Anderson College, or the Highlander Club, and I thought that was the open door for me. I thought that was the door that God had opened for me. In fact, we came here after my dad passed away, and I finished my last year of high school here. And during that whole year, I knew, hey, listen, Hiles Anderson College, that's where I'm going. I'm going to Hiles Anderson College. I thought that was the door that God had opened, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it would have worked out perfectly, except for the fact that that's not the door God had opened for me. Well, we graduated college. I don't know if it was, or high school. I don't know if it was right before we graduated high school or right after, but Pastor sat down with me and he said, listen, I'm talking to Barney Smith and I'm talking to Josh Daniels and about this, but I would like to start a college here. I would like to start a Bible Institute here at the Heritage Baptist Church. Would you be interested? I was 18 years of age. Would you be interested in helping me start this college? You would be one of the students. I said, well, let me pray about it. He said, sure, you go pray about it. You know what? I thought God was going to say, no, there's no way. You're not staying here. You're going to Hiles Anderson College. That's what I thought. But the problem is God threw open a door here, and he didn't close the door at Hiles Anderson College. I was looking at two open doors. It's like two invitations. It's like I could go there or I could go here just as easily, and it would almost work out perfectly either way. So, you know, I'm looking at this and thinking, what am I supposed to do now? But the more I prayed, the more God closed the door at Hiles Anderson College, not in any physical way or not in any way as far as sin or because it was just a bad option or because, you know, bad people were there. No, nothing like that. It's just a matter of God just opened the door here more and more and more and more and more. And I found out that that was exactly what God had for me. Now, when I was 18 years of age, I was, of course, I grew up in Mexico. I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to go to the mission field. I wanted to go back to Mexico. And I remember one morning, it was about 6:30 in the morning before I went to high school. I believe it was October of when I was 18, so I was already in college. But before classes, I was out on a walk. Do y'all know where Castle on the Curve is? Down there. There's a bike path that goes south of there and kind of goes down close to K-10 and crosses a road there, a little access road, and then goes through some woods and actually goes close to a lake that's just south of a little nursing home. And I was out there, and I was praying, and believe it or not, I was praying for missionaries. I was praying for the missionaries that we support, and I was praying, God, would you please send more missionaries? And God asked me this question, well, what about you? And I said, well, God, I want to be a missionary. That's the only thing I want to do. And God told me this. He says, well, you've never told me. I was thinking, well, doesn't God know everything, you know? What do you mean that I haven't told you? Don't you know my desire? And God says, you've never laid your life on the altar. You've never surrendered to that specifically. You've never told me. I said, well, if that's all I have to do, well, great, okay. So I got off the bike path. I went into the woods. I found a little stump, and I knelt down there. I said, all right, Lord, here I am. I'll be your missionary, you know? Great. So that was when I was 18. And God never called me to the mission field. It's like, good night, for 10 years. God called me to be a missionary when I was 28 years of age. And see, during that whole time, I was looking at my life and saying, okay, God, where's the open door? You know, I know it's going to be missions, you know, and I know it's going to be Mexico. That's got to be the open door that God has for my life, right? So, what I did is I just got involved here at the in the ministry, and I just kept working and praying, and God, you know, what's going on? And honestly, this was my series of thoughts. When I was 18 years of age, I thought, well, I just started the Bible Institute here. I just started college, so maybe I just need to finish college and then God will call me to the mission field. So I went through Bible college. I graduated and I'm looking for the open doors. Like, God, where's your calling? And God didn't open the door. God didn't call me. It's like, okay, fine. So I thought, now this is what my thought was. Maybe it's because I'm not married yet. You know, maybe I just need to find that right woman and then God will get me to the mission field. This is honestly what my thought pattern was. So I get married and God didn't call me to the mission field. It's like, good night in the middle of the day. What in the world is going on? But you know what? It wasn't time yet. But God knew exactly what he was doing. And God threw open doors when it was time to open doors. Now, the other situation was back when I was 23. I was 23 years of age, and I still wasn't married. I felt like a bachelor. I felt like a man old maid. You know, I felt like there was just no way in the world I was ever going to get married at 23. Well, lo and behold, I get married. But it wasn't to the woman I thought I was going to marry. In fact, I was looking at several different girls, and I was thinking, God, is this the right one? Is this the right one? Is this the right one? And some of them were big open doors, you know? but none of them... It's funny that the college guys are the ones that are laughing. Anyway, they won't be laughing for long. God knew who I was going to marry. And God opened the door, the right door, at the right time for me. It wasn't when I was looking for it. It wasn't who I was looking at. And it wasn't in any way, shape, or form the way I would have planned it out. But folks, God has, in life and in ministry, he's going to throw open doors every once in a while. Now look at Paul. He mentions that to the church of Corinth, hey, listen, God threw open a great big door of opportunity for us, but go to the book of Acts, and we're going to find out that it wasn't in any way, shape, or form the way he was planning. Look at Acts chapter 16, and it's talking about Paul here, and his ministry, the Bible says in verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So if you can imagine here Paul and several others, they were saved. They knew that what the gospel was. They didn't know any better but to just preach the gospel. So they were going all over the place. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ can save you. Jesus loves you, and he's the way of salvation. And they're preaching, and churches are just popping up all over the place. The Bible says here specifically that they had gone throughout Phrygia. Why does God have to put words in here that we can't even pronounce? And the region of Galatia. So not only a city, but a region, or if we can say maybe a state. They preached throughout the whole state of Kansas, for lack of better description. And the Bible says that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So here they are, they're working towards something. They're working toward a ministry. They get into Phrygia. They get into Galatia. They're working their way east toward Asia. But the Bible says that God closed the door in the direction that they were going. They were working their way toward a region called Asia. They were reaching people where they were. They went out souling. Well, they ran out of prospects, so they just moved on. And the further that they moved, they were going in one particular direction. They were heading east, and they were heading toward Asia. But at some point in the ministry, God closed the door. The Holy Spirit said, no, no further. You're not going that direction. Now look at what the Bible says. Verse 8, and they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas, and so it's not like they just stood still. They, okay, if I can't go this way, maybe I'll go this way, or maybe I'll go this way, or, you know, there's people around here, let's just keep preaching the gospel. Until God opens the door, let's just keep reaching people. And that's what they did. And in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. Now let me just say this. More than likely, Paul had never thought about Macedonia. Now I don't know for sure, but it just normally plays out that way in ministry. For me, I never thought about Panama. All of my thoughts were Mexico. I wanted to go to Mexico. I never would have dreamed of Panama. But that's what God had. And when God called me there, it's like, what? Are you sure? But God sometimes calls us to a place we didn't even think about. So there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So you can see God throws open a door here in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. This morning I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about an open door. Most of you are probably still not facing these kind of things. But very, very soon, the high school may already be facing some of these decisions. God, do you want me to go this way? Do you want me to go this way? Neither one of them are bad. It's not because I want to sin against God in going this direction. It's not like this will take me in a bad direction. But God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to this Bible college or this Bible college? Do you want me to go to Bible college at all? Do you want me to go for a year or 4 years? I mean, you know, what do you want me to do? And maybe some of you are starting to think about things like this. But just a couple of things to think about. Number one, you may not be able to see the open door immediately. You may not. Okay? You may not be able to see the open door immediately. Now listen, I knew at 18, if God was dealing with me concerning missions, that more than likely missions was in the future. I wasn't going to stay here in Lawrence, Kansas. But what I did is I was looking for the open door, but I didn't see it. And so I kept looking for the open door. I still couldn't see it. Now, in this auditorium right now, there's an open door. Can you guys find it? Hey, there's an open door back there. But did you guys see it as soon as it opened? You may not even know who opened it. And you know what? You may not be able to see the door immediately, but just keep looking. Number two. A closed door may not be a locked door. Now listen to me carefully. Sometimes our problem is we have everything planned out. We want to go this direction. We want to get to a specific plan in our lives. And so what we do is we go try the door. And we find out we can open it. The problem is God didn't open it. And folks, listen, is there sin out there? Maybe not. Can I force the door open? Absolutely. In fact, the devil might just open it up for me. But that doesn't mean that's what God has for my life. It's not what he has planned out. Now, could I do something for God if I went through that door? Probably. But folks, if God doesn't open that door, I should not try to open it. Now listen, there were a couple times in my life before I was married, I would have forced a door open if I could and would have married the wrong girl. Because there were two people, two young ladies that I was seriously interested in. One of them would have married me, but she wasn't the right one. The other one wouldn't have married me. Terrible, isn't it? But you know what? It's okay because she wasn't the right one either. But listen, number three. Let me keep going here. All right. So number three. Sometimes authority sees open doors before I see them. Sometimes authority sees open doors before I see them. Hey, listen, I can only see in one direction at the same time. But you know what? Brother Daniels is in a different position in this auditorium than I am. Mrs. Stumpful is in a different position. And see, what happens is a lot of times authority has already gone through these decisions. We're trying to figure things out. And listen, there might be an opportunity for me right now, but I might not be able to see it because I'm just buried in work, or I'm just chatting with friends. I can't see what's going on. Now, can anyone tell me if there's an open door around here? Right here? Y'all are pointing at me.
Over there.
It opened by itself. Did you know why you guys could see that it opened by itself? Well, that's creepy. Maybe it's the devil. You think it's the devil? I think it's the devil. I know who opened it. I think it's the devil. No. But you guys, I mean, come on now. You guys probably know why you can see the door and I can't. But, you know, life is that simple. Sometimes your mommy and daddy can see things that you can't just because they're taller. And they've walked where you haven't walked yet. And they've done things that you haven't done yet. And you know what? Pastor, listen, fellas, I would go to pastor and say, listen, this young lady over here, what do you think? Because I can tell you something. He knows her better than you know her. And he knows if there's some spiritual problems in that young girl's life. And you're going to find out after you marry her. But it would be nicer to know about it instead of getting involved in that situation. All right, so next, think with me on this. Number four, a closed door sometimes means no and sometimes means wait. All right, a closed door. Okay, I'm pretty sure we're supposed to start a church in Topeka. I'm pretty sure that's what God wants us to do. And so Pastor has gotten over here to Topeka. He's looking, and he hasn't come up against an open door yet. It seems like a couple doors have kind of swung open and swung closed. But folks, the closed door doesn't mean no all the time. It might just mean wait. It might just mean that God has that door to open, but the people that we're supposed to reach aren't on the other side of the door yet. So a closed door doesn't always mean no. Sometimes it means wait. Number five. When God closes a door, it is so that he can open another one. Okay, so listen. In this auditorium, there's an open door. There is. But I can tell you this. You can't see it and I can't see it. Okay? Now, in order for me to get to be able to see it, I've got to change my where I am, okay? So sometimes God leads in a particular direction and we see a door and we think that door is going to open and that is what God has for me and that's what he's going to do with my life. And you get to the door and it doesn't open. And so what happens is we start looking around and, oh, duh. Now, I couldn't see that door. Y'all see that door? I couldn't see it from back there. So what God did is he brought me to a point where I could see it. And I was thinking it's this door. Now knuckleheads do this. It's that door, it's that door, it's that door, it's that door, it's that door. I'm going through the door. Hey, just because it's a door doesn't mean you go through it. All right? But sometimes God'll bring you to a point by making you think that there is an open door, and it's not because that's the open door. It's just that he draws you to a point where you can see the open door. Think with me on something else. Number six, don't get discouraged when you only see closed doors. God will always open the right one. All right? From this point in my life, and in this position in the auditorium, I see only closed doors. Now, we'll get to what I should do when I'm here in just a second. But don't get discouraged. Number seven, do not go through a door that you saw others go through. Okay, what happens is, you know, I need some buddies here. Rhett and Israel, if you can help me here. Let's see here. Hey, Brother Daniels, could you help me? Let's see here. In my life, these two guys are in a totally different situation than I am in. But Brother Daniels is also in a totally different situation. Praise the Lord, I don't have to be principal of this school and deal with you knuckleheads day in and day out. But hey, he does. He's probably looking at me and saying, thank the Lord I don't have to go to Panama and deal with rain 9 months out of the year. You know? So we're in different situations in life. But see, what we do is oftentimes we're looking for an open door. And if you guys can go through that door, and if you can go through that door, what happens is God is working in different people's lives in different times of their lives. And see, I'm looking around, an open door. That was an open door for them. An open door. That was an open door for him. And see, we see people, God throws open doors for them in opportunity. And folks, it happens with college students. They got married before I did. Of course, we think it's a miracle, and sometimes it is. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And sometimes it is, but listen, it's their time to go through that door. And what we do is we look at them and we think, well, if they went through that door and everything worked out fine for them, hey, it's gotta work for everybody, right? No. It might not be God's will at all for me. It might not be God's timing. Listen, don't look at other people walking through open doors and thinking that you should be doing the same. All right, number eight. There's only 52 points, okay? So we're fine. We're supposed to be done 5 minutes ago, weren't we, Brother Daniels? 10 o'clock? No? 12? 12:15. Some people bust holes through walls and say, hey, look, this is a door, you know?
That's what Silas
is. Yep, that's what I'm saying. He's busting holes in walls. Hey, look at my door, you know? Number eight, hey, listen, please write this down. Money, pleasure, and convenience should never be the deciding factor. Those three things. Please. Now listen, you're young, you're in school. Some of you are in kindergarten and you're not thinking about this. But one day, somebody's going to offer you a job. And it looks like God just throws open a door. And the reason you picked that job is because you get double pay. But then you back off of the decision and you think, but I have to move to Wisconsin, and there's no good church around where they want to take me. Don't make that decision based on money. You are going to run into a brick wall and wish you had not tried to force God's will because of money, pleasure, and convenience. Hey, listen, a lot of times Satan puts up a door. And let me tell you something about Satan's doors. They lead to nowhere. Or you open them and there's a cliff on the other side. But what Satan does is he makes his doors pretty. He makes them shiny. And he puts them really close. So all you have to do is reach out and step through. But I'm telling you, and listen, the problem is you can argue your position. It's a door. It's open. Got to be God's will, right? Hello, Satan can open a door, right? All right, number nine. Doors are never the end. They are simply the beginning. Hey, listen, in ministry, in life, marriage is not the end. It's only the beginning of a relationship. To be called to the mission field isn't the end. It's just the first step in the rest of your life. So the end result isn't just finding that door. The door is not the end. It's the beginning. Number 10, Satan will do everything possible to keep you from accomplishing God's will. Satan will do everything possible to keep you from getting to the doors that God opens for you. All right, number 11. Please write this down. We often confuse a burden, opportunity, and or need as an open door, but they are not. Burden, opportunity, need. I have heard so many people that have made decisions because they saw a need. You know, Africa, they need missionaries, so I'll go there. Okay, well, a need isn't an open door. There are needs everywhere. And number 12, and we're done. When you cannot find an open door, just keep working and praying. Okay? I don't know what the Lord wants for my future. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow, or for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Hey, listen, don't worry about tomorrow. But what about college? Are you there yet? What about marriage? Are you there yet? What about the rest of my life? You might be there yet. Okay? We don't know how long you're going to live. But listen, don't worry about tomorrow. If you're not facing an open door right now, if God doesn't throw something open, do two things. Keep praying, keep working. You know what Paul did and his team? Hey, listen, we don't know where to go, so we'll just keep reaching people. And they just kept branching out and branching out and branching out. And God closed the door. Okay, that's fine. There's more people where we are. So they just kept reaching people and reaching people and reaching people. And God opened a door for their future in Macedonia. And they knew, oh, there it is. But what you do is you keep praying and you keep working. God has something for you. God has something for every single one of you. And God will open the doors when it's time to open the doors. God will give you that enlightenment. And by the way, you need to stay close to your parents. You need to stay close to your authorities. You need to stay close to your pastor. And they'll help you. When God called us to the mission field, I think it's humorous. I don't know if you do, but God called me to Panama. It was the first missions conference in October, first night of missions conference in October of 2013. Dr. Ed Johnson was preaching, and God called us to the mission field. I went to Pastor, and I said, Pastor, God wants me to be a missionary to Panama. He said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. He said, good. Talk to me about it tomorrow. Fine. So I went home and I went back to him the next day. Pastor, God wants me to be a missionary to Panama. Are you sure? Yes, sir. Good. Talk to me about it tomorrow. This is what he had to do. The whole missions conference. Finally, I said, yes, I'm sure. Just as sure as I am that I'm saved. When I said that, he said, okay, all right, fine. This is what we're going to do. But folks, your parents love you, and they want you to find the right opportunities, and they want you to make the right decisions. Your pastor loves you. He wants you to make the right decisions, and God loves you. He wants you to be able to accomplish His will for your life. Let's pray.